Very important, some kofzadi hay, I believe, is what we're up to.
Simen kofzadi hay.
Okay, we're just waiting for Isaac, now we can start. Okay, simen kofzadi hay. Dvarim ha'asurin bizman nidusa. Chayv adam lifrosh me'ishto b'meitum asa acha tisbor vit titbol. V'afilo shasa zman orach lo olsa tamid hi b'nidasa acha titbol. Okay, we'll analyze that little line a little more. When we get to Yodalad, which is going to sort of repeat this, but basically a man has to separate even from other krevos to his wife until she counts Shiva Nikiyam and Tovels, and even if she waits a long time until she Tovels, she's a Nido 100,000 million percent, and there's no kulos whatsoever, which we'll come back to in Sif Yodalad. The point of Sif Aleph is not that he has to refrain from Tashmish, that's obvious, but that he even has to refrain from other types of coming close to her. As we have, you know, innumerable makoros in Chazal. The assumption of the poskim is that we have a din in terms of all arayos that we have to refrain not only from actual intercourse with arayos, but from anything which might be close to that. Right, according to the Rambam, we all know this Nishad Araisa, that'll come up towards the end of this Simen, Ve'elishav, Nidas Tumasa, Lo Sikrav, Le'galoser Rasa. The Rambam, at least, unlike the Ramban, interprets to mean you shouldn't even come close to Kilu Yerva, right? That's Nen, Emihur, Basar, Chibuk, Venishuk, etc. There are some Yisurim here which are D'Araisa. There are some Yisurim here which are D'Rabbanan. The assumption of the Poskim is that some of these Yisurim that are D'Rabbanan are specially Yisurim, which are Chazal enacted for Ishto Nida more so than regular women on the street. Like, for example, we will see in Sif Beis, I'm not allowed to hand my wife something when she's a Nida. Oh, when I go to the supermarket, I'm allowed to hand my credit card to the cashier, even if she's a female cashier, and I don't know, she might be Nida, might be Nishas Ish, whatever it might be. I don't worry if she's an Erva. To me, there's no way sort of handing things to an Erva. So we see they need more takanas for Ishto Nida than for a regular Erva. And we won't go through all of this necessarily methodically, but some of these se'ifim apply to all arayos, and some of these se'ifim are specific for ishto nida, such as handing things, which is a special iser for ishto nida. Why were they more machmer in ishto nida than in other arayos? Why can I hand the credit card to the cashier in the supermarket, even if she's an ishto ish and a nida and who knows what? But I can't hand the credit card to my wife, so the answer is obvious. Because even though Chazal have a very realistic view of the power of the Yetzer Hara, and they have a healthy fear of the Yetzer Hara, and they know the Yetzer Hara is very powerful, but still, what are the odds that there's a Stam woman on the street and I'm going to end up jumping into bed with her? We're very afraid of the Yetzer Hara, but still the odds are somewhat lower, as opposed to Ishto Nida, where the husband and wife aren't used to sleeping together, and it's healthy for them to normally sleep together. They just have to forget that this is a particular time when they're not supposed to sleep together, or their Yetzer Hara will overpower them because they're used to it. That's therefore, because he's ragil, Chazal were more machmer by Ishto Nida than by a regular Erva. We will modify that in a moment. V'lo yischok v'lo yekal rosh ima, afilu b'dvarim. He is not allowed to do schok or kalas rosh with her, even with mere words, even if there's nothing physical involved. What is schok and kalas rosh? So we don't mean here, like when we say in a Beis Knesses, you're supposed to refrain from schok and kalas rosh. There we mean you're not supposed to tell a joke, you're not supposed to talk about the stock market or politics, etc. That's all kalas rosh. You're not supposed to talk lashon hara. I mean, you're never supposed to. But that's not what we mean here. Doesn't mean you can't tell your wife a funny joke, or you can't discuss politics, or, I mean, tell lashon hara, if not for the fact that it was also because of lashon hara. What it means here is lo yischok means flirtatious behavior. I think we all know on our own what flirtatious behavior is, right? Meaning it would might be appropriate for me to tell a joke to a woman someplace, but it would not be appropriate for me to interact with her flirtatiously. So therefore, likewise, one should not interact with their wife flirtatiously when their wife is a nida, and that's also a kalas rosh. Kalas rosh means dvarim hamargilim le'erva, means a type of innuendo or which is of a sexual nature. So that's it doesn't mean that one has to act like you're in shul. But it means that women should have a normal common sense of what behaviors are just normal casual behaviors that people engage in, and what behaviors are you know, have sexual undertones, or you know, even more so, which would be forbidden. Okay, the post can discuss. Yes?
When the Rama writes, I feel a bit dvarim.
Means even with words without actions, it's still
so, so the Shulchan Aruch was speaking about actions.
The Shulchan Aruch might have been interpreted at least about speaking about actions. It doesn't mean he's arguing. He might be interpreting. You might have thought that, right, Schok and Kalash Rosh are only actions. Kamashma, no, he means even with words. I think here he's giving pshat in the Mechaber, not arguing in the Mechaber. Sometimes those parentheses are pshat in the Mechaber, sometimes they're arguing. It's hard to tell. Sometimes you have to go back to the Makoros. Anyway, there's a big debate in the modern Halacha Sfarim. What about saying, I love you, when your wife is Anita? Is I love you just, you know, general, having a healthy relationship? After all, we should all love lots and lots of people. We know David loved Yonasan more than he loved his wife, etc. So we see that love is not a sexual thing. Love is a close relationship of the hearts. On the other hand, in the context of a marriage, obviously one could see it as having more sexual undertones. So, Lemaisa, most of the poskim I've spoken to about this says, it might depend on where you come from. If you're in a community where you only say, I love you, you know, in the, you know, on mitzvah night, etc., because normally that's considered inappropriate speech between a husband and wife, and it's a very sexual thing to say, then obviously it would be inappropriate. I think that in our communities that is not the case, and talking about love is not something one only does, you know, mamish at the time of Tashmish, and it's a general thing which has to do with our general relationship. Obviously, the physical relationship is part of that, but it's a more general kind of thing. And therefore, I think in our communities, we say, I love you even when your wife is Anita, and that's not considered to be schok v'kalos rosh.
What about, like, writing things to one's wife?
So there's writing things. There's writing I love you is like saying I love you.
Yeah,
one could write things that are sexual in nature, which would be perfectly fine and healthy when the wife is tahora, but not now. Or one could write I love you. I think writing I love you is like saying I love you. I think that's a healthy thing to say even when the wife is
tahora. Is there any more weight that's coming?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that like WhatsApps nowadays don't carry more weight than speech. But even when we're writing on fancy stationery with an envelope, I'm not so worried. But again, I think common sense is necessary here. I mean, I'm never going to be able to tell you in every situation what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, but I think that every normal person can tell on their own what is appropriate and what would be inappropriate. There's a certain banter that is perhaps overly romantic for the Nida period, and there's a certain basic love which is appropriate 30 days a month, 12 months a year. The Shema Yarga Lavera. Aval, here's the big heter. On the one hand, I pointed out to you that for sure, at least some of the things in this siman are chumras more for me and my wife than for me and your wife, because me and my wife are used to sleeping together. On the other hand, there's a big, big kula for me and my wife, more than any of her other erva, even more than a pnuya. What's the big kula? Aval motulo this yachid ima dechevan shabala pamacha sulatogim yitzro. However, yichud is mutter, obviously we're all would have noticed if the husband and wife had to live in different houses when she was in Nida. Yichud is mutter, as long as there was one bia. Remember, we learned in two simanim ago that if the chas and chala got married and they never had the bia yet, then yichud is also to do the super duper yitzahara. But if it's a regular situation where they slept together once before in their life, then there's no isser of yichud anymore. Why is there no isser of yichud? So, granted, there's no super duper yitzahara, but there's still a regular Yitzhahara. Why is there heter of Yichud? So there are two main opinions in the Rishonim. The mainstream opinion in all the Mefarshim is what's called pas besalo. Every other erva, or even not, even pnuya, every other woman, I don't have a guarantee that I can sleep with her next week. Therefore, there's an Isser Yichud. However, Ishtonida, where it's pas besalo, I know I'll be able to sleep with her later. Therefore, the Yitzhahara is a little weaker, and there is a heter of Yichud. In a case where one's wife is forbidden to him forever, then this, there's no pasta salad to be an Isser Yichud. That's a very rare case. And then they'd probably get divorced, and it would not be an issue. Yeah, for example, correct. Now, the according to this approach, you'd have to. It comes out a little funny. We're more makel in yichud be'ishtonida because it's pas pasavol, but we're more machmer in passing in some other harchakos because it's rugel v'libo gaspa because you're used to sleeping together. So why are we more makel in some things, machmer in other things? L'chora, the difference is that yichud is not a closeness, just an opportunity. Yichud is an opportunity. It's not a physical step closer. It's just an opportunity. When it comes to opportunities, then people already can make calculations based on the future. If I have an opportunity to sleep with this woman, I might take advantage of it because I'm not going to have the opportunity later. But with my wife, I won't take advantage of the opportunity because I have the chance later. Opportunities are not so tempting when you have pas pasavol. They're more tempting than pas pasavol. But the other things mentioned are not opportunities. Those are actual feelings of closeness. Actual feelings of closeness are worse for my wife because we're used to sleeping together. So the feeling of closeness already causes the Yetzer Hara to burn a lot stronger as opposed to a strange woman. And therefore, it actually makes perfect sense when it comes to things that give feelings, that already create feelings of closeness. Then my wife is more chamer because I'm used to sleeping with her. When it comes to mere opportunities, then another woman is more chamer because I'm not going to have the opportunity later. Okay, that's the mainstream approach. There's a second approach mentioned by the Ravan and the Rush, which is more practical, just says, well, the reason they were matur yichud ba'ishtonida is because it would be impractical otherwise. How are they supposed to have an Isser Yichud for, you know, 7 or 12 days every month? How are you going to live in a house that way? And therefore, they say, and that's why they offer the other things, to make up for the heter yichud. So like for ishtonida, since you have to live in a house, therefore they were matur yichud and offer other things to make up for it. But for other arayas, they didn't have to make special arrangements. Okay, that's a second shot. The mainstream shot is because of pas pasavol versus rugel v'libo gaspa. That's the basic framework for our sitting.
Say that something is
mostly
because of practical reasons?
In Drabanan, sometimes they could say that. And you have to assume that, l'chori, you have to assume that it's only Mr. Drabanan.
In general?
Sorry, just one second. I can't say that on my own. Only when they originally made the takana, they could say that.
They're not.
Right, no, I don't think so.
Not,
No.
I don't understand conceptually how being alone with someone is not closeness and passing something is.
Being alone with someone is... let me say it a little differently. Being alone with someone is not a sort of physical act. It's not a sort of physical closeness. As opposed to passing something, which is because it would lead to touching, a physical closeness, right? So therefore touching, if I touch my wife, that causes more VHR than touching a strange woman. Because I'm used to a certain pattern with my wife. As opposed to yichud, it's not that it doesn't have, it has nothing physical that actually like excites the man. It's more of an intellectual opportunity. And therefore, he thinks about intellectually whether it's pas pasavol or not. That's my claim, that yichud is more of an opportunity, so you think about the opportunity cost, while these other things are more of a sort of physical lighting of a spark, which then becomes a stronger spark if it's between people with a pre-existing sexual relationship.
I don't know if this is what Rabbi is saying or similar to, but by yichud, like if we're going to be oser on yichud, then it would mean that once your wife tells you that she's needed, then you have to like run out of the house.
Right, so I think that's the second shot I was saying that's found in the Ravon and the Rush, that it would just be impractical.
I'm thinking more like a passive versus active thing. Okay,
so that's similar enough. Okay, in any case, but that's the halacha, that we're machmer on everything in the siman and we're mekel on yichud. One of the issues that comes up in the Pesach Tshuva that he throws in here, because it doesn't officially belong any place, explicitly rather belong any place, is the question of smelling besamim. And this, by the way, is an issue for all arayos, not just for Ishtonida. Says the Birkei Yosef, etc., and many other poskim, that a man's not allowed to smell the perfume of his wife when she is a Nida. And then he even goes so far, he can't even smell her perfume if it's not on her. I don't know, you know. I don't think perfume is as big as it once was, like in the old days before they had baths, etc. You know, I guess a woman might have her scent. Like, women are, you know, connected to a certain perfume. They always buy that perfume. And they have a certain smell that they always wear. So the husband can't even go into the bathroom and smell it when it's not on his wife because it smells like his wife. Certainly can't smell it on his wife. This is halacha lemaisa, that you're not supposed to smell your wife's perfume while she is a nida. Again, I don't think nowadays people, whether the wife is a nida or not a nida, go around smelling the wife's perfume like in the bottle. But smelling on her, obviously, is a normal thing. So one should not smell his wife's perfume if she's a nida. What that means is that when the wife is a nida, she should not wear a terribly strong perfume. The husband's not going to go this close to her when she's a nida. But he's going to go this close to her when she's a nida. So therefore, she should not wear a very strong perfume when she's a nida. It's not so clear to me that the wife should wear a very strong perfume even when she's not a nida, because she's not only staying home, she's going out to the world as well. And the other men shouldn't be smelling her perfume whether she's a nida or not a nida, because she's an eishes ish. And therefore, you know, lechora from women should wear light doses of perfume and not heavy doses. You know, if you put a little perfume, you can only smell when you're really up close. So men aren't likely to get that up close. And when she's a nida, her husband's not likely to get that up close. That's fine. You know, she likes the way it smells for herself. But she should not wear a heavy perfume because one is not supposed to smell the perfume of an erva. There's some discussion about it. Shulchan and everyone else discusses how bad can she hold the besamim for her husband to smell while she's a nida. Maybe that's also he's smelling her besamim that she's holding in the havdalah. So maybe if it's makom mitzvah, it's a different type of atmosphere. L'chora that is a very different kind of atmosphere, meaning the besamim havdalah. One has to use their common sense in this. You know, if she's really sticking her hand in his face in a way that seems inappropriate, then don't do it. If it's done in an appropriate fashion, I think really we paskin that we don't have to be machmer on the besamim havdalah. We don't have to go that far, and we can makel in that.
Generally, it's not her smell. It's
in fact, the Bnei Shulchan wants to ask her it anyway.
She makes food that smells really good. You can't smell that either?
Right, she's holding it. Okay, you know. It's okay. People are allowed to ask for things sometimes.
Who's the one who said that you shouldn't wear perfume?
I did. Based on the fact that the Posuk write that the men shouldn't smell it. So if the men shouldn't smell it, I thought it's not such a big chiddush to go from there saying the wife shouldn't wear too much of it. I thought that was just a simple logical step. I guess technically you'd say, no, just because usher for the men to smell it doesn't mean she shouldn't wear a lot of perfume. They should just, like, avoid her. But that's not common sense. Common sense is if the men aren't supposed to be smelling her perfume, then she's not supposed to be wearing a lot of perfume. She can wear a little of perfume that you can't smell from too far away. And, you know, then the only person getting that close will be your husband when she's tahora, and it'll all work out perfectly. Okay, Viker. Sif base. Lo yiga ba afilu be'etzba ketana. This seems to be clear from the main sugya of Harchakos, is Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, about the very strange story of Tana Tzvi Eliyahu, that the fellow died young, and the wife wondered why, and it was because he wasn't keeping the proper Harchakos. And one of the parts of the conversation was, Eliyahu Navi said to, who was disguised as just a Stam Yeshiva guy, said to her, maybe, there's different Gersos and the different verses of it, maybe he passed you something, whatever, and you touched. She says, no, he didn't touch. Mostly because we didn't touch at all, not even the edge, tip of our finger, no touching at all. It seems clear from this that touching is usur when the wife is a nida, even though it's not so clear that touching is usur for Stam Arayos, right? Meaning innocent touching, right? It's not so clear that touching is usur for Stam Arayos. It's a big machlokes whether there's nen emikur basar. The Rambam says an issur d'oraisa, hugging and kissing and pleasurable touching. How about Stam holding the arm of an old lady and helping her across the street? And what if she's an erva? What if she's an eishes ish, right? She's a Arayos. So how about touching stamarios? How about the doctor treating a patient, etc.? Okay, so we assume that that those things are mutter, at the very least, b'makom tzorech, you know, if done for some good reason and not just stam unnecessarily. But when it comes to ishtonida, we're more machber, and he can't lo yiga ba'afilu es katana, no touching is mutter at all. Not only that, the Tashbeit says, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, the end of Sivkot and Gimel, it's not 100% clear if he means this. He's sure this is Pshat in the Gemara, this is just a later minhag, even touching her clothing when she's wearing it. I don't mean doing laundry. Even touching her clothing is usher, even if you're not touching her. That's clearly seems inappropriate. So not only that, but v'lo yoshet miyada liyada shum davar v'lo yikavlan miyada shem yigav. Sorry, you're not only allowed to pass her something or she pass you something, lest you end up touching. This is not so clear in the Gemara. It may or may not have a makor in the Gemara. There are different Gemaras about passing things, none of which explicitly say it's usher to pass. The Rambam is very mature, says it's mutter to pass, because he says usher to pass the cup of wine without a shinoi because of the inyan of zigas hakos, etc., implying that it's mutter to pass stam things. However, the Masorah from Rashi, that pretty much all the Rishonim, or most of the Rishonim accepted the Masorah from Rashi, that it is usher to pass. Why? The assumption is, lest you come to touch. What's the makor of this? The simple shot of the makor of this is from some versions of the story of Tanit Ve'eliyo. Ve'eliyo Navi says, he says to the woman, did you maybe pass him? Think the pitcher or the key or the knife, there are different versions, it doesn't really matter. And you touched, and she said no. That could certainly be understood, that it's usher to pass lest you come to touch. It could just be he was wondering if they touched, but it could also be he was saying that it's usher to pass because it might lead to touching. That's how Rashi understood it. And we paskin like Rashi that even though it's not mefurish in the Gemara, and remember that particular line is not in the Gemara's version. Of the story. But nonetheless, we pass like Rashi that it is usher to pass lest you come to touch. And not only that, at the very least the Ashkenazim, quote from some of the later Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Ramah brings even throwing is usher, even though you're not really, if you throw something to each other, you're not really going to come to touch. Nonetheless, the minhag is, it's hard to say that that's in the Gemara, the minhag is that is usher. As well. Before we go into some of the details, the big question that bothers a lot of people nowadays is that, is what if the husband and wife are out in public and they have to pass something to each other, and if they don't, if they don't touch in public, most people don't touch in public. That's perfectly normal not to touch in public, right? If they don't flirt in public, that's perfectly normal. But if they don't pass in public, then like it might be very abnormal to not pass a necessary thing from one to the other. I'm holding something, my wife needs it, and now I'm going to like put it down on the seat and she's going to pick it up or something. Then it might be noticeable, and everyone will see she's a nida, and she will be embarrassed. So, is there any room to be makil in such a case because of embarrassment? The shach in Sivkatan Yud Zayin is not talking directly about this, but does talk about that there are some people. Give me a second. Anoshim ha'ochlim nishosem v'meili bunah shalo yagishu v'embayis. Men who eat together with their wives, because we'll see, eating together is one of the harchakos, so that people don't notice she's a nida. Shibash huva over al diber chum. It's a mistake. They're violating the words of the chachamin. That's in the Shach Sivkatan Yud Zayin. They made a chirim against it. So it's not talking about passing, but people who try to be make one harchakos because they were embarrassed, it's a shibush, it's an aveira, and there's a chirim against it, at least in that particular kechi tempsi.
To eat together?
Yes.
So then they should not eat together.
All right, we'll get to it. Yeah, that's Sif Gimel. They shouldn't eat together. We're not up to that yet. But we see from the Shach in general that he doesn't think that it's okay to violate harchakos just because you are embarrassed. There's a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein about this in Chelek Bey Simon Ayin Zayin, who was asked, but what about Kavod HaBrios? And we know we're makel for Kavod HaBrios, etc. It's so embarrassing if people notice the wife is a nida. And Rav Moshe writes, he paskins that Chelek Bey Simon Ayin Zayin. He paskins, there's no problem. It's not embarrassing. What's embarrassing? If someone did a terrible wrong thing, that's very embarrassing. You know, if you made, I don't know, maybe sometimes you goof up and make a big mistake, that could be embarrassing. But to get your period once a month, what's embarrassing about that? That's part of nature. There's nothing embarrassing about it. As a matter of fact, adrabba, if you don't get your period, that's very embarrassing because now you're struggling with infertility and there's something wrong with you and you might feel people are judging you. But if you get your period once a month, that's a very healthy thing that shows your body works properly. Therefore, there's nothing embarrassing about it whatsoever. As a matter of fact, in the old days of Tumah Vatara, everyone knew if you were in Nida or not because you had to keep Tumah Vatara and they weren't embarrassed. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, there's nothing embarrassing about it and therefore it's not a shaila. You're not embarrassed. I would add to Rav Moshe that just another factor that I think often young couples think that people are, that young couples assume that people are thinking about whether or not they're a nida much more than the people really are, right? They assume if there's like 10 people in the street looking at them, they're all looking, wondering if the newlywed wife is a nida or not. And they don't realize that those 10 people in the street have their own lives. And they're probably wondering about how they're going to pay their mortgage that month, or they're wondering about, you know, how their targetal bunim, or they're wondering, they all have a lot more important things going on in their head than whether your wife is a nida or not. And I think the odds are slim. Maybe I'm just naive, but I think the odds are slim. Like, it's really not a terribly interesting thing to know whether this woman is a nida or not. And most people are really thinking about other things. As a matter of fact, even if they're talking to you, they're probably thinking about other things and don't care about you. Certainly, if you just happen to be nearby and not passing something to your wife. So I think that the right answer is that there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Nonetheless, embarrassment is a tricky thing because it's not clear that it depends on whether you should be embarrassed. It could be that if you are embarrassed, then you are, regardless of whether or not you should be. Like some things like depend on what it should be. Right, like whether or not I think that, you know, I don't know, the vaccines are dangerous, either they are or they aren't, it doesn't matter what I think. But in things like embarrassment, l'chora it matters what you think, not whether you're right or wrong about what you think. A feeling is a feeling, right? Just like, I don't know, Ben Shapiro likes to say facts don't care about feelings. L'chora, feelings don't care about facts, right? I mean, it's got to be mutual. So, what if someone, they heard the Rav Moshe, but it didn't make a roshim on them? They heard what I added to the Rav Moshe, that also didn't make a roshim on them. And then what if they really feel very embarrassed? Then what should they do? Of course, the right answer to this question is the answer to the Shut WhatsApp group. The answer to 95% of the question in the Shut WhatsApp group, I made up that statistic myself, is, in three words, or that, a little sharper, Chacham Einav Barosho. Plan in advance. If you plan in advance, you avoid 95% of halachic shaylas. Now, it's a big question. Is that a useful thing for me to answer? Right? Like, if you had planned in advance, this wouldn't have happened. It's not clear that's always a useful answer to the halachic shayla. But even if I don't say it, I'm clearly thinking it. Like, once you already don't plan, now you get into the shayla, and now what are you supposed to do? Lamaisa, the answer is plan in advance and make sure everyone's holding whatever they need so they don't have to pass. Okay, what if don't be embarrassed doesn't work and the wife is so embarrassed? What if planning in advance didn't work and they didn't plan in advance or they tried to plan in advance but sometimes things are unexpected? Halakha Lamaisa, most of the poskim that I have spoken to say that since this is clearly passing is not an issur d'oraisa, it's not even clear that it's an issur d'rabbanan. It doesn't say anywhere in Shas that you can't pass. It's Rashi's pshat, and we're not sure. Did Rashi get it from the Gemara? Was it just a minhag? Like, we have a masorah that Rashi was machmir, but we don't have a masorah of where it came from. So it's not clear that this has a mokar in Shas at all. It might just be a minhag. It's clearly a minhag. Can't deny it's a minhag, but maybe it's only a minhag. And maybe it's a type of kavod brios, and even if it's not mamish kavod brios, still she feels very embarrassed. So, since it's probably just a minhag, therefore, lamaisa, if push comes to shove, there's room to be mekel b'shas hadchak, if she's really going to feel very humiliated, even if she's wrong. But, again, feelings don't care about facts. Then, there's room to be mekel if you're really stuck, because it's not an isser Borer, even midrabanan. Okay, so that's halacha lemaisa. Yes.
Why do we hide a kid? I'm a nida. You do that in a practical way.
Ah, why do we do the chuppas? Nida in a private way? I assume because there we understand that everyone's very sensitive at the time when they're getting married in the chuppah. We understand people are more sensitive at that time. We're going to hide the chuppas nida, right? Because it's a very sensitive moment. I would say three things. A, people are more sensitive when they get married, right? You remember when you got married. The day you got married is a very sensitive day. B, everyone is staring at you. Like, you're the chassan and kala. You're not just two people. Like, they've come to stare at you for a few hours. That's what they're there for. They're there to come stare at you. That's why they showed up tonight. And C, I think, because it's not a common, usual thing. Meaning, being a nida is something that happens to everyone, right? Part of nature. Here, I mean, it is a bit of a mess up to have a chuppas nida. And therefore, we understand why people would be more embarrassed about it. So, lamaisa, I think there are differences, in my humble opinion.
Is there a way that you should pass something if you're in public?
Okay, I'll get to that in a moment.
Are we going back to like, the shach? I don't know if you can see us so much.
What shach?
The chinan that they had, the people that were trying to eat together so people wouldn't know. Are we going to get back to it, or that was it for...
We'll see the halachas of eating together. Obviously, whatever the halachas of eating together are, they must have violated.
Were there other people there?
You'll ask me again when we get to that.
Is there an Indian to be tanua about...
Good question. Is there an Indian to be tanua about whether you're a nida or not? We know. So in my humble opinion, al pi halacha, al pi makoros, I think it's just a mistake. In the old days, no one was tanua about whether they were nida or not. There was Tum Vatara. Everyone was public whether they were nida or not. What do you have to be tanua about? You have to be tanua about when you go to the mikvah. Meaning, Chazal say very, very harsh things. As a matter of fact, very politically incorrect things about people who are not tanua about when they go to the mikvah. People who, like, tweet when they're going to the mikvah, Chazal say very, very harsh things about them. Things that are so harsh that, I don't know, I'd probably, like, you know, get in trouble with the liberals for saying them on tape.
Is that a thing?
What?
Is that a thing?
To worry about getting in trouble with liberals?
No.
It is. I hope it's not a thing. It's against all of Judaism. But I was once told by someone who travels in slightly different circles than I do that they know someone who, put on their, I don't know if it's tweet face, I don't know the difference between these things, that when they're going to mikvah and circles where they're supposed to be very open and sharing about everything. So it's at least happened once. I'm not going to tell you what Chazal say about it, but it's very harsh. But I think it's a misunderstanding. Why are you supposed to keep when you go to the mikvah private? Not because whether you're a nida or not a nida is private. Because when the wife goes to the mikvah, it's now a halachic mitzvah and chiyuv that she should sleep with her husband, engage in tashrus with her husband. That's what you really have to keep quiet. You can't tweet, I'm sleeping with my husband tonight, I'm sleeping with my wife tonight. That is completely pre-tastic to... publicize, and going to the mikvah that night is like telling people when you're going to sleep together. As a matter of fact, the only time you're allowed to publicize what night the husband and wife are sleeping together is you can send out a wedding invitation. Even though everyone knows the husband and wife sleep together after the wedding, and Chazal, you don't have much of a choice, but Chazal are worried about this, right? What are they thinking of Ksuvas? Nonetheless, they give very harsh punishments of 70 years. Against anyone who's benabel peh. Meaning, a person shouldn't think about the husband and wife in tashmish. When they are, when they're not. But just whether or not you're a nida, that doesn't prove anything. If you're a nida, then there's no tashmish. Nothing to think about. And if you're not a nida, then there may or may not be tashmish. Who knows what night anyone's going to do anything. Like, it's up for grabs. There's no particular information. So really, there's no halachic need to be tzanua about whether or not you are a nida. Obviously, in our society, it would be weird, and I guess weird to the point of inappropriate, to go around tweeting whether you're a nida or not. It's just like in our Western society, it's not makubal to tell people these things, but you don't have to hide it. So I would say, you don't have to go and tell people when you're a nida, when you're not. No, that would just be against the cultural norms of our society. But, and once against the cultural norms of our society, it's not proper behavior. But you don't have to hide it. Like, I know there are people who say, oh, well, in public, you should never pass anything, so then people will know you're not a nida. Nah, I think that's a little crazy. You don't have to hide anything. If you're embarrassed, you're embarrassed. Do whatever you want. But halachically, you don't have to hide whether or not you're a nida. Okay, that's, I feel very confident about that. There's no halach or ashkafik chiyuv to hide whether or not you're a nida. You only have to hide tashmish, which includes going to mikvah, because going to mikvah leads to tashmish that night. But if someone's embarrassed, okay, then they have to try and plan. We'll give some other eitzes in a moment. Or if really they're really stuck, then, you know, it's sort of, you know, the choice is either to be makel on passing or the wife's going to cry or equivalent. Then they can be makel b'shas hadchak.
Not to get too into it, but I think that people who would be embarrassed wouldn't necessarily be embarrassed because of blood or not blood, but more because it is an insight into their private life, which is normally...
Correct, but I would still say that halachically one doesn't need to go so far.
I don't know how different that is.
Right, I don't know that it makes it...
a mikvah night,
right.
Where you can say that this week is...
Yeah, I think it's still...
This night is mikvah versus...
Okay.
No one's thinking about like precisely when. The idea is that the public eye has more of a...
Okay, I understand, and I think just in terms of the halachic makoros, I would draw the line between which night and general.
In terms of like embarrassment, I don't think that there's any distinction.
Okay,
what a girl may feel.
Fair enough. And if someone does feel that embarrassment, then again, feelings don't care about facts, and that they certainly don't care about my particular perspective. And then you have to act in accordance, right? If someone feels when they're not a nita that they don't want to pass something, they're embarrassed, then let them not pass something. You know, everyone does whatever makes them comfortable. Okay, let's get into some details. And maybe some of the details we'll find kulas that can help us avoid the awkward situations. So first someone mentioned babies. There's a famous baby kula in the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Gimel in the name of the Tashbetz, and then the Pesachei Tshuva added his own part, that you can pass a baby because chai no seis atzmo. But he adds, that's only if the baby's big enough to walk on his own, not if the baby's very little or chas shom sick. So you can pass a big baby, but not a little baby. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva says in the Katan Gimel. Because the big baby is really passing himself. Barei Willig is very famous for arguing and posking the exact diametrical opposite pumfa keret of this Pesachei Tshuva. He says, "Nah, I know say Satzmas do with Hilchas Shabbos. Now with Hilchas Nida, you can't pass a big baby because even if the big baby can move on his own, you still might come to touch. Like, what difference does it make if he can move on his own? Seems to be a very compelling argument. And he also argues the other tzad lehefech, but a little baby you can pass, even though it might lead to touching. Why? Because a little baby who can't walk by himself is like a chole. Tzarchei katan are considered like a chole in kol Torah kula. And for the needs of a chole, we're makel on passing, as we see at the end of our simon. And Rabbi Willig says he's seen one too many times, even once is one too many times, that, you know, the husband and wife, she's a nida, and they need to pass the baby, and, you know, they have no place convenient to pass the baby. So, like, he puts the baby down on a car, and she takes him, or something like that. And he says, that could be a chashash sakana, chas v'shalom, and you don't want to get into a chashash sakana. So, lamaisa, one should certainly agree that if you have a big baby, don't pass him. Big babies can walk on their own, or crawl on their own. If you have a little baby, so if you have a stroller, put him in the stroller, and your wife takes him out of the stroller. If you're home, put him in the crib, and your wife takes him out of the crib, or many other safe places at home. If you don't have a normal place to put the baby down, then better to pass the baby and be makel on passing, rather than, you know, have the baby's safety put into even a small degree of question by putting the baby on the sidewalk or on a car or on some other not 100% safe space. So, yeah, we should follow Rabbi Willig, who says, big baby machmer, small baby we're makel, you know, if you don't have a safe way of, and even though it's a little yeshivish to always compromise on safety a little and assume that you're smart enough that it'll work out, but, okay, my Masor from Rabbi Willig and all of our Masor from Rav Chaim is not to be yeshivish in that sense.
And the difference between big and small, that I can crawl on
its own? The difference between big and small is just whether it's a compromise of safety. I mean, obviously, big babies who walk on their own, they go everywhere, and it's not, you know. I mean, they also be in the middle of a highway or something, and even a big baby, you know, it's using common sense.
For being makel and passing for chola, is that like when the husband or wife are a chola?
Yes, but who are then? Lachora, right? Again, if you need to. If you don't need to, then you don't need to. But sometimes people are out, and there's no normal way to pass the baby to each other, and you don't want Chas V'Shalom to drop the baby. You don't want the baby to fall. You don't want the baby to be in someplace unsafe. And therefore, better safe than sorry in these cases. The other tremendous machlokas is kfaters. Ones who comes to passing babies. Those are little babies. What's a kvater? A kvater is an honor at a bris milah. It's the couple who brings the baby into the bris. A woman takes the baby from the mother, gives the baby to her husband. In the old days, it wasn't necessarily her husband. It could also be her brother or her father or her son, meaning not a stranger, who then brings the baby to the father. Ironically, it seems, we're not sure, it seems that the origin of this kavod was that the wife is a nida on the day of the Bris Milah, on the eighth day. And therefore, she can't hand the baby to her husband. So in order to avoid passing of a nida, they made this minhag that another couple acts as intermediaries who are not nida. And that solves the problem. Then it turned into a skula, that if a couple doesn't have children, you give them kvater as a skula. And then it became a big deal. And then you get these very awkward situations where they want to honor the childless couple with a skula of being kvater, but this wife is a nida, which is against the whole origin of this minhag. And now they want to know, can they do the skula of kvater when she's a nida or not? And the simple pshat is, of course, not. Meaning, you don't have to pass anything. It's not a question of safety of the baby or anything, just to have someone else be the kvater. It doesn't have to be a childless couple. That's just the skula. It could be anyone. It doesn't even have to be a couple. In the old days, it could also be any man and woman who were relatives. It's just pasnish for the wife to hand it to a strange man, pasnish for a strange woman to hand it to the father. So therefore, they had two men and women who could pass to each other in between. Again, it could be just family members. It could be, I don't know, the wife's sister and father, or any other combination, or it could be any couple. It could be a 60-year-old couple who you're sure is not Anita. Not a 90-year-old couple, I'd be nervous about them. But a 60-year-old couple is still, you're not nervous about dropping the baby, and they're for sure not Anita. So, what to do in this case? This is a big question. The Sfardim have a sort of more makel about this. Lamaisa, the best thing is to not be kvater if you're anida, because it's not a real lechatchila. And lamaisa, the school of being machbed in hilchas nida is better than the school of being a kvater. Lamaisa, some people are mekel when you're really stuck that the wife carries the baby on a double pillow on top of two pillows. The husband, he doesn't take the bottom pillow, because then it'll for sure lead to touching. He takes the top pillow off, which is still passing, but at least passing like with some mechanism to she has one pillow and one pillow. He only takes the top pillow, so passing with some mechanism to avoid touching. And people are makel that way if it's a shas hadchak, and they assume maybe there weren't nohig to be against the minhag of kvater, etc. So it's not lechatchila, but there is room to be makel. The Shas Hadchak.
Because
you don't have to be the kvater. Let someone else be the kvater.
So it's only really
the other. It is like your baby, and you're with your wife, and no one else is responsible for this baby. You can't expect strangers to take care of the baby, so you have to pass the baby to your wife. You don't have to volunteer to pass other babies.
Right, so
that very willing wasn't make on.
But it's always been the other, because anyone else can help. Pass the baby along, you should.
So, right, but like, it's noted to be makel a little more, even some sort of low plug, just to avoid coming close to a situation of sakana. Pashtus is that we're makel, that this cool of the small baby applies it if there's no other easy way to solve the problem. But you don't have to start carrying other people's babies. I mean, no, you don't have to volunteer to carry a baby in the world. That we're not makel. You're a baby. You're responsible for. You don't always have someone else. If you have someone else who's happy to help out with the baby, wonderful. But you know, you don't always have a solution. So no, but he certainly wouldn't be makel stam for no reason. Okay, right. I think.
Who's this Spartan word?
Svardim are more makel about kvater. They take the kvater very seriously, and they say you can do it with a double pillow. But again, lamaisa, it's best to avoid if you can. Usually you can avoid. You don't have to agree to be the kfater. Someone calls you and says, would you like to be the kfater? And you can say, no thanks. But every situation is different. And sometimes there are surprises, etc. Okay, other issues that come up. Bays, I should have mentioned earlier, is the whole question of what about if there's no mikvah lady? Can the husband be the mikvah lady and watch his wife tovel or even like touch her to make sure their hair goes underwater? Is there a heter because like when he starts doing this, she's a nida. By the time he finishes, she won't be a nida anymore. And basically he quotes that b'shas et chak, if you don't have another choice, he quotes the Nodeb Yehuda a heter. It's a very rare situation. But yeah, if you're on vacation in an island someplace in the ocean, etc., then basically the question is, can you be Mater Harchakos at the time of Toveling? Because by the time you finish being Mekel on Harchakos, she won't be Nida anymore, so it's not a problem. So if you're stuck, we're Mekel on that, because it does seem to be a good Svara.
So you can do everything, all the Harchakos?
I mean, all the ones that are necessary. What? Could be. I mean, again, not some places they have Masudra to communities. With like, some places there is another Orthodox woman in town who can serve as the mikvah lady, but not always. Sometimes there is no other Orthodox woman in town. Right? What do you do? The woman needs a tovel. There's no other Orthodox woman around. Right? Obviously, it goes without saying, another man can't be the mikvah lady. It's true that a non-Orthodox woman can't be the mikvah lady because she has no nemanus. So then she has no choice. Her husband could be the mikvah lady and watch her tovel and help her tovel if necessary. And it makes sense because we're not afraid what it will lead to, because by the time they're done, she won't be in need anymore, so can't lead to anything bad. Okay, a lot of details come up in Sif Katan Gimel in terms of the details of passing, etc. Sif Katan Gimel and Sif Katan Dalet. Let's try to go through some of those details. Sif Katan Gimel, the Yad Eliyahu says that the husband's not allowed to, she's not allowed to light her husband's cigarette. The Pisrei Tshuva, I get what I meant. She's not allowed to light her husband's cigarette because that's considered close to touching. There's a big machlokas achronim. Many achronim are mater. However, we aser for a different reason. Because it's aser to smoke. And therefore, she can't light her cigarette, whether she's a nida, or whether she's not a nida. So therefore, it shouldn't come up. Even though they're very forced, I think, leans towards being mekel. Maybe he wrote this book before they knew smoking was dangerous. But in any case, one shouldn't smoke, so it shouldn't come up. Another discussion. We already discussed some other things. Discussed touching clothing. What about passing to clothing? Like, let's say you put something very gently into her pocket. So we assume that if touching the clothing is usur, then one also shouldn't, like, put your hand in her pocket, etc. That's touching her clothing. What about zrika? What about throwing into her clothing? So that, we assume, we could be mekel. What does that mean? Not, like, throw it at her clothing. That's already flirty. What it means is that, let's say you want to give something in her pocket, and this is a solution for when you're stuck, etc. You know, if she opens her pocket, you just drop it into her pocket. If you drop it into her pocket, that's zrika in a beged. That far, we don't have to Aser, the truth is Torah Shlomin talks about this, and he says it's mutter. He says, Amachmer Tovelo Bracha. Okay, but if you're stuck, meaning you don't have to go around just for fun dropping things in your pocket, but if you're stuck, then a good solution to avoid if you're embarrassed by not passing, or forget embarrassing, you don't want to pass, but you're just not sure how to get something from one spouse to the other, just practically. So if someplace to put it down where they can pick it up, then I can open my pocket and my wife can drop something into it. Could be a potential heter, zrika in the beged, the Torah Shlomim, Sivkat and Beis says it's mutter. Another possible heter is how about if you have a pocketbook or a knapsack or something? So, I mean, clearly, if my wife puts her pocketbook on a chair, I can take things in and out of the pocketbook, right? That has nothing to do with her. Let's say she's wearing the pocketbook. So even if you're stuck, even if you're wearing a pocketbook or a knapsack or something, if you can gently place something into it or take something out of it, then that's also mutter. So there are eitzes for how to get things from one to another if you're stuck, other than just putting them down someplace and picking them up. Number one, you could drop it into a pocket, or you can gently place something or take something out of a knapsack or pocketbook, etc. And those things we can be make on. So you do have some aitzes.
Generally meaning like she won't feel it?
Right, or, you know, then trying to minimize.
Then you can or cannot put your hand in your pocket?
You cannot. That's like touching her clothing, which we at least Alpi Minhag said at the end of Pesukei Teshuva Gimel was usher. However, you can drop into her pocket or gently take in or out of her pocketbook. Right, I differentiate between pocket and pocketbook. What else do we have to discuss here? Pesukei Teshuva Daled. This weird case. How about blowing off this big thing? It's not such big blowing feathers off her clothing or vice versa. I don't know, like blowing dust off your clothing, etc. It's a big machlokes ha poskim here. And many poskim are meikel. I think the betting nowadays to be machra and assume that nowadays that's flirty behavior. I think it is. So I think nowadays we are machmir not to blow dust or feathers off each other's clothing when the wife is a nida. How about Zrika? There are some poskim who are making legamri. If you look in the Birkei Yosef, is quoted here, of the Chidah, he quotes from some achronim who are making legamri. We asher Zrika. However, the Kresi here and the Birkei Yosef are mater. If the husband, I mean, either way direction, throws something straight up and the wife sticks out her hand and catches it, so he didn't throw it to her, then that's mutter. I'm just not sure how practical an eitzah that is in many cases. But taka, a lot of our chronim are mekel. If I throw it straight up and then she sticks out her hand and catches it, that would be mutter because I'm not throwing it to her. However, I'm not sure that's a practical solution for all these cases where you're out in public. I'm not sure it's practical. I'm not sure it's practical, meaning it doesn't seem to me to be a good solution for practical problems.
Right, I guess. On that note, like, how much do we take into account the discussion that's held in, like, Hilchot Nezikin, the Koch Gavra, and bouncing things off walls and, you know, redirections or...
It's a good question. How about bouncing? Most things, it's not a practical solution either, meaning many things you're not supposed to bounce off walls. It's an interesting question. How about bouncing off a wall?
It's like a koch. Is this like a koch?
The answer is I'm not sure, because this is like its own minhag. You would think that one could be makel and bouncing. You would think one could be makel and like bouncing off a wall, but again, you know, usually it's not a ball that you want to pass to your wife. So, in fact, it's almost never. So I'm not sure how practical it is, but I would think. I don't remember Makoros about it.
Can husband and wife, like, play tennis?
So that's a big question. That's the question. What about tennis, ping pong, etc.? So it's a big discussion in many of the post-gym. And Lemaisa, I think most Achronim nowadays haven't heard of these things. Not for husband, wife, their nidor, for anyone else. But among those poskim who've heard of it, Lemaisa, I think we assume that that's mutter because of bouncing. And we don't call that skolk v'kalas rosh, playing sports. You know, playing sports is not a romantic thing, right? Meaning usually I play sports. I don't play sports. But usually men play sports with other men who they're not romantically attracted to. So, again, you know, but everything is subject to common sense, I think. I think common sense is important in these things. But me'ikra din, I think it would be mutter. I guess ping pong might be a more common thing than tennis. I don't know. Maybe I just underestimate how often people play tennis. But you have to bounce in tennis, right? I know how to play tennis. Do you have to bounce? In ping pong, you have to bounce, right? Is it? No, you don't? For a serve, you have to bounce. Otherwise, you don't have to bounce. Interesting question. What?
It usually does.
Yeah, if it doesn't bounce in ping pong, you lose.
Yeah, you're supposed to bounce.
Right. Although the person could cut it off before it bounces. Right? You're allowed to cut it off before it bounces.
It's not throwing it at them. They're throwing it and they happen to be there.
Yeah, well, they hit it and then you hit it back. Anyway, Lemaisa, I think there's room to be made. You can't throw a football or frisbee. That frisbee, that's Rico. Yeah. Here also, you're not throwing it, you're hitting it, you know. Anyway, Lemaisa, ping pong and tennis, I think there's room to be makel. You know, I don't know. I'm too nerdy. I don't play tennis. I always talk about playing tennis with my wife because that way we exercise. But I talk about many forms of exercise. And so far I'm a big talker.
Why do we extend passing to throwing if there's no chance of...
It's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. Is it throwing off to passing? Is it... You know, it's a minhag that they don't give a strong basis for. It could be that passing up to touching. I'm not sure.
And like other things...
Oh, throwing off to passing, I mean. Yeah.
Like other... In Shabbos, is there any shinoi?
No, we assume not.
Even with throwing or...
Yeah, okay. We assume not. Now, there's one big question. What if you and your wife are out and you have a big double stroller, etc., or some other very, very heavy thing, and it's too heavy for one person to carry? So it's not a matter of passing, but like you have to carry it together because it's too heavy for one person to carry. So is the room to be makel? Could you say that's different than the minhag of passing, etc.? The big machlokas, Rav Moshe in Chelik Beisim and Ayin Hei says, Usser, that's as bad as passing. You're holding it together. It's like you're constantly passing to each other. However, the Tzitz Eliezer, if you want to look it up, it's in Chelik Yud Beis, Simen Nunches. So Rav Moshe is in Chelik 2, Simen 75. Tzitz Eliezer is in Chelik 12, Simen 58. He is Makel. He says, no, the Gezerah was only on passing. It wasn't on carrying heavy objects together. Lechatchila, we are Machmer. You should try to be a Chachamein of Barosho and make sure not to be in that situation. If you're really stuck, then Lemaise, if you're really stuck, we can be Makel.
Do you think of like wearing gloves makes something different? Are you wearing anything like that?
Not for passing, I don't think.
For carrying?
For carrying? I haven't heard that. I've heard that in other contexts. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. Gimel. The Gemara, the Mishnah says at the end of the first parak of Maseches Shabbos, Lo yochal hazav mazav neher galavera. The husband can't eat with his wife when she's a nida. Zava, nida, same thing for our purposes. Because of her galavera. What does it mean, can't eat with? Lo yochal im. Right? The Gemara also extends it to Shtia. It says, Ochal imi v'shasa imi. In the story of Tanya Be'eliyahu, the wife says, he ate and drank with me, and seemingly that's a bad thing. Then he says, and we slept together without pajamas, which is clearly a bad thing. That was the original case, because the husband and wife sleep in the same bed. And she says, yeah, we slept in the same bed without pajamas, but we never did anything usher. He says, no, you did something usher. You violated the harchagos. But what does it mean to eat with? So here it is unclear. There are three pshatim in the Rishonim. The Rambam and Rebbe Yonah, Lo Yochal, says the Rambam and Rebbe Yonah, it means Bika'ara Achas. Eating with means eating from the same plate. Okay, eating from the same plate is a very, yeah, it is a little bit, I don't know if romantic or close, it definitely is something which has a great degree of closeness. The most Rishonim, say it means shulchan echad, eating on one table. Because eating one table, even though it's not quite as romantic as eating from one plate, but it does create a significant degree of closeness, and often people eat and go to bed. The Mordechai and the Urayim, for Lezer Mitz, and the Mordechai say it means, and again, this is very similar to the first shot, say it means, the husband eating the wife's leftover, he eats with her, meaning she eats, and then he eats with her, he eats her leftovers. Which again is very similar to the Rambam shot of in one plate. So there are three shot means eating the same plate, eating the same table, or eating her leftovers. Where Moshe Feinstein writes in the Gemara Moshe, there's a subtle difference between eating her leftovers and eating the same plate. They're not exactly the same shot. If you want to look up this for Moshe, it's Chelek Aleph, Simen, Tzad, Beis. He says, these look like the same shot, and some of the Achronim treat them as the same shot, but they're slightly different, says Moshe. Why are they slightly different? Because what if you would have separate pieces on one plate? And by separate pieces, I mean like servings. I mean separate pieces, like if it's really salad, it's made up of 1,000 little pieces. That's all one piece. I mean separate pieces, like you have cookies on one plate. And each cookie is a different cookie. Or you have, what else? What? Schnitzelonim on one plate, you know. So what? So here, altskar achas, it would still be usser. But alts achilas shareha, it would be mutter. So that's a nafkamina. If you said it was eating from one plate was usser, even if there's separate servings on that plate. But if you're saying it's eating her leftovers, those aren't her leftovers. What do you mean? If it's a plate of 20 cookies and she eats one cookie, that's not leftovers. What, you expect her to eat 20 cookies? So therefore, he says that's enough for me. Enough for me. The other direction, give me one second, would be what if the wife finishes eating and then, and then the husband eats. She finishes. She gets up from the table, says, I'm done. Then she says, I'm done. Then the husband sits down and he eats dinner. They eat dinner in shifts, right? They only have one chair. She eats first. She's finished then, and he says, this would be mutter. It's not considered eating from one plate, because they're not eating together. But it would be usser, alts, achila shareha. Okay, one could argue, but this is where Moshe assumes. Where Moshe assumes there's an afkamina. There are really three different pshatim, because the pshat of the same plate and the pshat of leftovers, even though they're very similar, are slightly different in that pshat of leftovers, asr, is even if the woman finishes before the husband starts, while the pshat of the same plate is only if they're eating from the same plate at the same time. And the pshat of the same plate asers, even if it's not leftovers, because there are many servings on one plate. While the, let's say there's a plate with three bagels. She eats one bagel, he eats one bagel, she eats, you know, whatever it may be. That would still be eaten from the same plate. However, that would not be considered leftovers, because it's not leftovers. Leftovers only from, like, a part that you ate from that's one serving. Okay, we'll get there in a second. How do we paskin? So you can imagine, Rov Rishonim, I mean, if you went through the Beis Yosef, you'd make a list, the Sheltos, the Raiva, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ram, the Smag, the Sefer HaTruma, that goes Maimonios, meaning a lot of Rishonim Sfar, a lot of Rishonim Ashkenaz, really clear majority. We think we should paskin that the problem is Shulchan Echad. And that is what we say in Sif Gimel, Yochel Imala Shulchan, you can't eat with her on the same table. Now the truth is, the Rush suggested that maybe that only applied in the old days. Everyone remember the old days, like from Michael's Pesach, etc., when you had a personal table? So then two people on the same table is romantic. Nowadays, when we have big tables, maybe it's not romantic. However, we don't assume like the Rush. The Shulchan Aruch does not bring down any distinction between old tables and new tables. We assume eating at the same table, even if it's a big dining room table, is still usser.
We're not kosher on the other two.
Well, we are, but not yet. Unless you have a shinoi, what's matter? A shinoi. The only hatter is a shinoi. What counts as a shinoi? Interestingly, the Beis Yosef quotes from Yerucham, changing where they sit is a shinoi. It's not quoting all the modern day poskim. I'm not sure if the minig is to use that kuva. When you're in chassan classes, do you learn that it's mutter if you change where you sit?
Also, because then it's almost like. That becomes a place where you sit
there
and
that's
like half.
Yes, I think the minhag is that. Rabbi Yerucham not quoted by most of the Achronim. I don't think the minhag's like that. What is the minhag? The minhag is to have an actual hecker. What's a hecker? There are two possibilities of hecker mentioned here. One is shum davar masrin karsha, something in between their plates. The diuk lashon is, it doesn't mean something on the table. You know? I don't know, I put a statue of an elephant on the table. No, that's not good enough. It has to be between their plates. It has to be between them, like a symbolic separation. Lechem o kankan, like for example, bread or a pitcher, without getting into all the details are not important. There's only one principle that's important. The principle is something that doesn't belong on the table. What belongs on the table, what doesn't? That depends on your time and place. You know, nowadays the bread's usually on the table, so that wouldn't be very, and the pitcher's also on the table. That wouldn't be a very good. But there are lots of things that still aren't on the table. I put my wallet in between. You know, that's not usually on the table. That would be a good hecker. I wish I could say you put a cell phone in between your plates, and that is a good hacker. But I'm pretty sure that Bob would say to our Robin, it's normal to have your cell phone on the table during dinner nowadays. So maybe a wallet or something else, right? I saw someone quote it, maybe from Schechter, that you shouldn't put like a chumash or a gemara on the table between your plates, because that's not covet to use a sefer as a hacker. But you could put a secular book. a slim volume of Shakespeare, one play, you don't want your table to break. You put a volume of Shakespeare in between your plate and her plate, or a wallet, or anything else, and that is a hacker. That's one option of mottering. The other option is, everyone has a separate tablecloth. And you notice, where are these familiar from? From Hilchos Bas Bechalav. What if my wife's Tahora, but I want to have meat and she wants to have milk? Then we have to do the same thing. Either put something in between our plates, or have separate tablecloths. It could be separate tablecloths. It could be one person is eating on the table, the other on the tablecloth. It could be separate placemats. Not if we always eat on placemats, then there's nothing different. But assuming we don't always eat on separate placemats. Anyway, it could be some symbolic separation is mater. So far we have one mater, which is a hecker, which is either something in between our plates or separate tablecloths or placemats.
Do you need a hecker if your wife is Nita and you're eating meat and she's in
here? I don't think so.
Do flowers count?
Or
is that romantic? Or is that normal table?
I think that...
Does it normally happen on Shabbos? Like a week now?
I think that flowers count. I don't think flowers are so romantic. I mean, it's always good to buy your wife flowers.
It's always on the table.
That depends.
On Shabbos.
That depends.
You're gonna die as soon as Shabbos ends, though. So you
know,
depends on the husband you are.
Depends on the flowers. I think that that it could be flowers. You know, it could be like a special vase, whatever.
Do we can't apply this to the hetero bad
Because I think in our chukas that involves some sort of physical contact, so even a hecker won't help. Hackers usually only ones that don't involve physical contact. Then, without physical contact, then a hecker is good enough to avoid it being excessively close.
And is it about reminding you, or is it actually a barrier?
It's about reminding you. Could be a small hecker.
You should be able to use it for other harachokos if it's just about reminding.
No, but the difference is some harachokos which have physical contact or have a possibility of leading to physical contact, then we say, no, the physical contact creates a certain physical reaction, and a hecker's not good enough. But if you have things that are not physical contact, that are just, a closeness, that are just relating to each other in a way of closeness and, more so than we have to re'echa kamocha, of a regular person, then we say a hecker will be good enough. If I eat with my wife, that's not going to cause the yetzer to burn. However, it might just be lead to a certain routine of feelings of closeness and routine of husband and wife, so we have a hecker. Touching might already be a different story, because that actually has a physical reaction.
Is there a reason you don't need a hecker for
a It's a good question. It could be that either all these harchokos are good enough hetter for yichud, or just it's, I don't know how shayach it is, where you can put the hecker, you're a big house.
So for the hecker that's not the tablecloth, it needs to be in between your...
That's what it says here. Doesn't it say mafzik ben karshalo le karshalo? Not in the middle of the table. It has to be between your plates. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, right? This is my plate and this is her plate. I have to put it here.
Right.
Not here.
If someone else is eating with you...
So what if someone else is eating with you? That is a big discussion. The Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Hei quotes different opinions. And here he quotes from the Tshuvos Masas, Masas Binyamin, that if there are other people eating with you, it's mutter. This is a big machlok zachronim. Do other people make it mutter? The Sidrei Tara here, if you look in the back of Katan Zion, I don't know if it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuvah, wants to say that there are machmirim. He wants to say the Rashba says even if other people eat with you, it's still usser. Because the Rashba thinks that the reason you can't eat at one table is because you might eat from the same plate. And even if other people are with you, you might eat from the same plate. That's his shot. He says the Rashba says even other people is usser. And then he says the Ra'ah is makel only if the other person's in between you. However, that's not the minhag. That's not what the Masas Binyamin sounds like. Even though the Rashba says other people's not a heter, or seems to say, the Ra'ah says only other people's only heter if they're in between you. Our minhag is more makel than that. Our minhag, like Shana the Masas Binyamin, is that if there are other people, then it's not romantic anymore. Two is company. Ellie?
Three is a party. Three is a crowd.
I'm sorry, I'm a little behind on the Pitgum M. When I was a kid, two's company, three's a crowd. Yes, so that's what Ellie meant, of course. Anyway, two's company, three's a crowd, meaning it's very nice that you're sitting with your wife and enjoying your time together. If there's a third person there, then it could also be enjoyable, but it's not alone. It's not quality relationship time. And therefore, we assume that if there's someone else at the table with you, it's not a problem, which then means we avoided the problem of the shach. Now that we have big dining room tables, we don't have small tables, we have big dining room tables. So everyone sits at the same table. No one sits at separate tables. So if everyone sits at one table, then we might have shach. If you're sitting alone with your wife, then no one's going to notice and you're not embarrassed. And if there are other people there, then you don't need a hecker because there are other people there. So we paskin that it really wouldn't come up, this question of, unless like you and your wife had your own table and other people had their own table. And then they would see you putting a hecker in between you. But that's very rare because we all have big tables nowadays. Who has little individual tables? Sahalach lemaisa. What if you go to a restaurant with your wife? And you're sitting with her at one table, and there's no one else at your table. If you go to a restaurant, you can put something in between you for a hecker, figure out something clever that'll just look like you put it there. And trust me, in a restaurant for sure, everyone's not looking at your table to see if you put a hecker in between your plates. Yesh gavul at a certain point. I never looked at the people next to me in the restaurant to see what was on their table. Maybe I'm weird. Let's see what they ordered. See if it looks better than what you ordered. Right, so you have, what do they call that? See if you have FOMO. All right, is that the correct use of the Rosh Hashanah? Thank you. I'm trying to pick up the Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, Lamaisa, if you go to a restaurant, okay, then Lamaisa, as the Shach says, you could be a little bold. Find an excuse to put something in between you that doesn't really belong there. But Halacha Lamaisa, we paskin, if you have guests over, you have kids, then it's not a problem. L'chor, the kid has to be at the table. If you have a baby in a high chair, then you'd still need a hecker. Baby in the high chair won't mind. What?
How old the kid is?
And when they sit at the table. Doesn't matter how old they are, either at the table or they're not. If the kid's six and in his high chair, and I mean a high chair with a tray. The kid's six and not at the table, because he needs to sit in the high chair with a tray, you have bigger problems. If he's eating at the table, he's eating at the table. If he's in a booster seat eating at the table, he's eating at the table with you. Now, what's the real difference if he's eating on his high chair tray at the table? At a certain point, we just have to make a rule. If someone's at the table, they're at the table. If they're not, they're not. I think that's fair.
Is that normal that the baby's sitting with the high chair with you? Like, is that still kind of...
Yeah. Like, yeah. Let's say you have, 10 kids, and they all sit at the table with you. That's normal, but it's not romantic. It's very nice and beautiful. But it's not romantic. Some other things that come up. The Ramah has a heter, although it doesn't help so much nowadays. The Yesh Omrib, Ha Ditzarech, this is the Hagosa Shiri, says the name of the Ri. Yesh Omrib, Ha Ditzarech, Hefsek, Ben Karshal, Karshalah, Hainu Davkech, Shein Ochlim, Bekar, Achashi, Tahora, Velim Ochlim, Kar, Achashi, Tahora, Sagi, Mochelas, Bekar, Bnei Atzma, Ben Shiri, Sarech, Hekar, Achir. That when do you need to put something into your plates if you usually eat on two plates? But if you always eat from the same plate, and when she's in need that you make it two plates, then you don't need an extra hecker, because just the move from one plate to two plates is enough of a hecker. Okay, the Shach quotes the Bach disagrees with this kula, and says maybe it's only when there are other people there, but the Shach himself agrees with the Ramah. The Shach and the Ramah agree that it is a good kula, that if you always eat from the same plate, then two plates is enough of a hecker. But I don't think it's so shyach nowadays, because I never heard of any couples who always eat from the same plate. I mean, nothing wrong with it. Whatever makes you happy. I don't think it's common nowadays that couples always eat from the same plate. And then when they're in need of separate plates, that'll be a hecker. We always eat from separate plates nowadays. Okay, but if you happen to always eat in the same plate with your wife, then the Ramah says, and the Shach agrees, even though the Bach disagrees, that it would be good enough to just have separate plates, and you wouldn't need any additional hecker. The Taz here talks about a husband and wife who eat from the same plate. They have a lot of pieces, and he takes a piece, she takes a piece, he takes a piece, she takes a piece. And he says that is usher. That's called eating from the same plate. However, he says when you have a serving dish and you take it to your own plate, that's not eating from the same plate. So if you both take from a serving dish your own plate, That's not called sharing a plate. The Shach, the Taz assumes that this is in Sif Gimel. We'll see, this is in Sif Dalet. And this is in the Taz and the Pisli Tshuva, the Isser of the same Kara. We assume we pass like all three of these. Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel says Usher to eat the same table. Sif Dalet says Usher to drink her leftovers. And the Achronim add it's also Usher to eat in the same plate. Although again, the nafkamina of Usher to eat in the same plate, once we already know it's Usher to eat her leftovers, is more subtle. But it's mutter to take from the same serving plate to your plate. So for example, you can't like have the same bowl of popcorn and eat from the same bowl of popcorn. What you could do is if there's a big bowl of popcorn, you each take a small bowl and you fill up your small bowl and eat it. Rav Moshe says in the Tshuva I mentioned earlier, Chelik Aleph Simen Tzadi Beis, Chelik 1, 792, that it's okay if there's like a butter dish in the middle of the table and you both take butter from that dish. Everyone knows that's like a serving dish. But you can't take from a, you can't mamish eat from the same plate. The Pesach Tshuva points out that there are some chumras of the same plate, more so than the same table. What are some chumras? So, for example, he quotes here the Tashbates. Is it the Tashbates? He quotes the Masas Ben Yamin. Or maybe he himself. The Pesach Tshuva of Katan Hay says that even though you're allowed to eat on a table with other people, you can't eat from the same plate even with other people. Maybe because you'll end up eating leftovers, maybe, but maybe just, that's what he suggests, maybe just stop. The Shur Shevet Levi says, a hecker doesn't work if you're eating from the same plate. Like, you can't like put something in the middle of the plate. Although, again, these are sort of not so practical. Lamaisa, eating from the same plate is always usser. Eating at the same table is usser unless you have a hecker or you have other people with you, and we're about to see that eating leftovers is also usser.
Restaurant, can you just get us another plate and
then
you take
away
one
per
plate?
Or even after, we'll see. That's interesting, meaning you clearly can't, like, I don't know, people do this often in restaurants. Like, you share your plates. That's a common thing to do in restaurants. It's not necessarily to be romantic. It's because you want to taste both dishes. Some couples have the men like that. The wife orders two things she wants. And the husband just eats half of each thing. It makes the wife happy. But if you do have that minhag, the husband has to pretend that he wanted it. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's a good tip, even though it's not a strict halacha. What if she has a plate and he takes from that plate onto another plate? Is that called eating from the same plate or not? After all, she's eating from the plate, but he's taking to another plate. I think that is not called eating from the same plate. I think that's okay.
That's after she started eating?
We'll see, yes. Wow. Yes, we'll see yes in a moment.
Going to popcorn for a second, similar. Do we need to take popcorn out and put it on a separate plate, Dafka, or can I put it in front of me, or...
It doesn't have to be on a plate. I could take popcorn and pour it onto the table in front of me and eat from it, and she could pour it onto the table in front of her. Correct. That's what I can't do. Correct. And you shouldn't pour popcorn on the table. It's messy. You should put it in a plate.
Where does it say all
three? Popcorn is very greasy.
All three of these come from the Taz that you can't do?
No. This Gimel means this is Sif Gimel. Yeah. This is Sif Dalet, if you haven't read yet. And this comes up in the Taz and the Pesach
Tshuva. There's a big bowl of popcorn.
I think you can. I think you can. As long as one of you has a separate plate, I think you can. Because that's not eating from the same plate. Because she's eating, but
why
you're not.
Leftovers?
What?
Why is that
not leftovers? Because leftovers are mutter if you move them into a new kli. Some people want to be macher in that in foods, but that's a big chumrah. That's not the mainstream understanding. All right, the Badei Shulchan says, before us, leftovers are mutter if you move them into a new kli, for reasons that we'll see in a moment. Okay, let's go to leftovers. Okay, leftovers are bosai. Says the Ramah at the end of Gimel, even though it really belongs at the end of Dalet. Yesh Omer Shaasal Alecho Mishiur Machal Shalak, Kamo Shaasal Lishos Mishiur Kosh Shalak, Kamo Shiesbar. Some people say it's usher for the husband to eat the wife's leftover food, just like it's usher for him to drink her leftover drink, like we'll explain. How do we know it's usher for him to drink her leftover drink? Dalid lo yishta mishiyuri kosha shasahi. He can't drink the leftover from her cup. Okay, this is the pshat and what it means. Shasaimi in the story of Tanu Dilo. Achalimi v'shasaimi. So shasaimi, what does it mean to drink with me? You might have said to drink on the same table. But the Arayin and the Mordechai saying no means to drink after me. And since it says the isser is for the husband to drink with the wife, it doesn't say it's also the wife to drink with the husband. Therefore, we see this is the first and one of the very few harchakos that are not bidirectional, that are, you know, discriminatory. That it's also for the husband to eat the wife's leftovers. It's not also for the wife to eat the husband's drink the husband's leftovers. The Sfardim follow the Mechaber only applies to drinking. They assume that's Shana Shasa Imi. And Sfardim assume Achal Imi means eating on the same table. And Shasa Imi means drinking leftovers. The Shach supports the Ramah in Sivkatan. Chesin says, no, Pasha, Iman of Shach. If you think Shasa Imi refers to leftovers, then Achal Imi also refers to leftovers. And therefore, if you're going to be Macher by leftover drink, after you Macher by leftover food. Okay, the Sfardim don't care what the Shach says, because he wasn't Sfardi. But Ashkenazim say very, very clearly that eating and drinking, even though Sfardim only have drinking, you're not allowed to eat or drink your wife's leftovers. However, under what circumstances are you allowed to eat or drink your wife's leftovers? There are many heterim, to which there are more lists. A, Imlosha Mafsik Adam Acher Beneim, if someone else interrupts. Right, what are the heterim? One. Hifsik Adam Acher. I apologize for the quality of the markers. If anyone sees another marker next to them, just throw it to me. If someone else ate in between, it's okay. So like if my wife drank half a can of Coke and someone else took a sip, I can drink the rest of the can of Coke. If my wife ate half a bowl of popcorn and someone else eats some popcorn, I can eat the rest of the popcorn. Oh, hurak mikosel kos acher. Or it was poured to a different kli. Right? Hurak likli acher. Was poured to a different kli. If my wife drinks half a can of Coke and I pour the rest into a glass, even if I then pour it back into the can, or not so practical, but the first cup, whatever it may be, if I have a funnel and pour it back into the can, it's mutter. It's only also in the same kli. It's only also in the same kli. It's mutter in a different kli. The post can assume that this is also true. Some people question this, and the mainstream post can assume this is also true for food. If she eats half a plate of, stir-fry, then I can't finish the plate of stir-fry. However, if I move that into a different plate, it's mutter, which is what we were talking about earlier.
So why for the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, in the second case, do not say you have to move plate? Why can you just come and eat the leftovers?
Because they assume it's only usher to be eating from the same plate. And if one person stops
at
the other one's...
At the same time without anything to do with leftovers?
Correct. They don't hold the leftover pshat. That's not their pshat. That's the Yerayim, the Mordechai's pshat. We're machra like all the pshatim. But each of these Rishonim was only machra like his own pshat. So that's the second heter. Third heter... What? I'm reading the Ramah. Oh, so hurek be koshel, he says kos. I just translated to kli. V'im shasav hu eini yodeav rotsa lishos mikoshel, eini tzrich lahagin lo shelo yishta. Or number three is eini yodeav. If he doesn't know it's her leftovers, then how can it hurt him if it doesn't know he's her leftovers? Let's say he finds half a glass of water and he thinks it's someone else's. He thinks it's his own leftovers. He thinks it's his kid's leftovers, whatever the case may be. If he doesn't know, then you don't have to, she or anyone else doesn't have to tell him. Because it's all in the mind. What's the problem? The problem is, why is this the first thing we've seen that's only one direction? Because this is in the mind. It's called Nesinas Dato Aleha. Right? When he eats or drinks her leftovers, he causes him to think about her too closely. But it's in the mind. They're not actually together, right? She's not even sitting at the table. Right? She's standing on the other side of the room and he's drinking her leftovers or eating her leftovers. So where's the closeness? Here, it's not closeness. It's in his mind. And that's why we differentiate, because, okay, there are certain gender stereotypes, and certain gender stereotypes are true. Okay, like all stereotypes. Doesn't mean everyone always lives up to the stereotype. But when we make halachos, right, the Rambam writes more in Vuchim, that the din of the Torah made alpi the rov, normal way things happen, not alpi every weird, uncommon situation. And therefore, gender stereotypes, many of them are true. And this one is definitely true, that the husband's mind is more potentially problematic than the woman's mind. We all know, okay, many phenomena we see in the world nowadays that men and women have different attitudes towards, or different inclinations when it comes to the sexual desire. And therefore, if the wife eats her husband's leftovers, drinks her husband's leftovers, or eats the husband's leftovers, we're not afraid that her thoughts will lead her in the wrong direction. But the husband's, we are afraid his thoughts will lead him in the wrong direction, because the men's thoughts lead him in the wrong direction more often than women's thoughts. And therefore, but if he doesn't know, then he doesn't have any thoughts. Continuing. Vihi muteris lishtos mikos shasahu, but she can drink his leftovers. Vim shasa mikos v'holchala yesh omer shemotzo lishtos ha-mosar, not mutter, but mosar, demei achshu v'holcha ein kan chiba. Here's the fourth enter. Again, when the Rambam says yesh omer, he means we pass in this way. He doesn't say yesh omer, which is shalo bifaneha holchala. If she's not there, if she left. If she left, then he's not going to have such thoughts when he drinks her leftovers because she's not even there. Long distance is not going to have such thoughts. One heter, which is not accepted by the poskim, is what the Shach quotes in Sivkot and Tess, not if we added more. I mean, let's say she left half a cup and we filled it all the way. That's not a heter. We don't say now that we added more, it's not her leftovers anymore. No. If she emptied the cup, then we can refill it, then it's not her leftovers. But if she drank half a cup, even if you add more, that doesn't make it kosher. It's not like Yayin Pogum for Kiddush, etc.
She can have his leftovers.
Right.
She can do it while he's still there.
Yes.
She left and then came back and stopped eating.
Aha! So the Rabbi Akiva Eger says here someplace? Yes. And the Pesach Tshuva in Sivkot and Zayin, quoting the Yad Eliyahu, that once he started eating and then she came back. Or he started eating and then he found that it was hers. Or he started eating and then she became Anita. Then she got her period. All those three cases are equivalent. He started eating and then it became Aser. It's all Mutter. Because once he started eating the Heter, now it's his leftovers, not her leftovers. I think it's rare that these cases actually come up, I must admit. But you never know. Okay. By the way, where is this, where would this really likely to come up in real life? Again, there's a whole discussion in Pesach Chivs with Cotton Vav. He's not talking about cigarettes, similar. What about smoking half a cigarette, etc.? So the answer is that it's also for him to smoke the what's left of her cigarette, or for her to smoke what's left of his cigarette, or for them to each smoke a cigarette, even on their own, because it's usher to smoke. So therefore, we don't need to get into that. No, we don't say about the rove. That's the point of the shach. Even if she left over 3 fluid ounces and you add another 4 fluid ounces, it doesn't help. Right. By the way, where could this come up often? If the husband and wife are like hiking or traveling someplace, they have a water bottle. That's a big problem if the wife's Anita. If the wife's not Anita, then just make sure to bring enough water. You're fine. What if the wife's Anita? Then you have a big problem, because once she drinks from the water bottle, now he can't drink from the water bottle anymore. Right? So what do? You like cheshbon how many ounces everyone needs to not get sick, and he drinks his amount of ounces first, and then she drinks his leftover, and they're okay? Right? You have some. Easier said than that. I don't mind. I don't believe in germs, but a lot of people do believe in germs, so it's not so pashut. The answer to this is Chachamina Barosha. If she's Anita, you should bring 2 water bottles, one for him and one for her. And then, even if he needs extra water, she can always pour it into his water bottle. And that's Hurik Mikos Al Kos, and it's not a problem. So, this is a big Chachamina Barosha. What if they're really stuck? Say they have 1 water bottle, he's dying of thirst, and she already drank from it. I don't mean dying. I don't mean dying. Then l'chora, I guess what one could do is if she goes far away where he can't see her anymore, then it's holchala, and then he'd be allowed to drink her leftovers. But it's much better to just bring 2 water bottles. Be a chachamina perusha. Okay. That's so much for Sith Dalin. Sith, yeah. Loud. Ah, what if she drinks from the water bottle and then went to the mikveh? Then it would be mutter. Yeah, that would be mutter, because now it's okay if he thinks about her. He's supposed to think about Tashmish with her now. It's a big mitzvah now.
The opposite.
The opposite would be a problem. If she drank from it and then was pierced nida, now he couldn't drink the rest. Unless he had started drinking beforehand, because then it's already not hers anymore.
Right.
Okay.
I thought she leaves.
No, she comes back. It's the assumption of these questions, but then she came back. Yeah. Right. And then she came back. Okay. I guess it could be, you know. No, if he started drinking. But what if he didn't yet? Okay. So if, hey, this is a funny one, because the mucker of this is a little unclear. I mentioned the mucker of this. There's a Rav Haigoin, there's a sort of Rav Haigoin, that Dam Besulim, even though she's a Nida, her bed is not tummy. And no Mashur Rav Haigoin meant. I mean, your bed is not tummy. Like, we don't, I understand what he means in biblical terms, right? Ah, there's no Tomas Mishka V'moshav. But in Rav Haigoin's days, there was no Tumah V'Tara. So, like, what does he mean, her bed is not tummy? So the Ravid says, you know what Rav Haigoin must mean? That he doesn't mean the bed is tummy, not tummy. What he means is that normally the bed of the wife is a harchaka when she's a nida. But in Dan Mesula, which is only Rabbanan, they didn't make that harchaka. And we paskin like that Ravid, based on Rav Haigoin, even though the mucker of this is somewhat creative. But nonetheless, we pass it this way. What do we deduce from this? That in a regular nida, it's usher for the husband to sit on the wife's bed. That's what the right that deduces from Rav Haigoin. That's what we paskin. Lo yeshev b'mitam yucheres la'afilu shelo b'fanehah. He can't sit on her bed, even if she's not there. Why? This is also the second harchak. We see that's not bidirectional. Because again, here there's no physical closeness. He's sitting on the bed without her. I'm not talking about sitting on the bed together. He's sitting on the bed without her. She might not be in the room. Right? Why is it usher? Because of his thoughts. And here we say, for her to sit on his bed, we're not worried about her thoughts. Well, women's thoughts are not quite the same. For him to sit on her bed, a bed is not a cool bed. When he sits on her bed, he's going to think about certain things that happen on beds. And that might lead to a michshol. And that's how we paskin. It's usher for him to sit on her bed. There's a big machlokas. Sit on her bed or only sleep on her bed? The Shach and the Bach say, no, this is a mistake. The Shach quotes the Bach, only sleeping on her bed is aser. And he says, only without pajamas. But sitting is very innocent. However, that's not the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, lo yeshev, he can't even sit. And that's also, he's quoting for a number of Rishonim, and the Taz agrees with him. Halacha l'maisa, the general minhag is to be machmer like the Mechaber and the Taz. Against, right? How about yeshiva, the Alma, just sitting? The Mechaber and the Taz say even sitting is usher, as opposed to the Bach and the Shach, who say sitting is mutter. We generally assume even sitting is usher. He can't sit on his wife's bed at all because it'll lead to problematic thoughts. The Pisri Tshuva brings down, it's a cut and test on his own. He says, push it. If she's not in town, then there's no problem. Because what are your problematic thoughts? She's not even in town. She's not around. He can't possibly sleep with her. What thoughts could he have? Right, she's not available, b'chlal. Okay, some people argue, and the Das Torah, the Marsham says, well, if she's coming back to town soon, maybe it could still be a problem. Only if she's out of town for a while, it's mutter. Okay, l'maisa, someone should generally try to avoid sitting on the wife's bed. She's out of town for a while, then it's mutter. But generally, we should try to avoid, you know, if she's out of town now, she's coming home tonight, then l'chor, it's a problem, right? Generally, one should avoid any sitting on his wife's bed, but she didn't either, because it might lead to the wrong thoughts. However,
Pisley should be talking about if you can lie or only sitting. If she's not there, if she's not for a week, can you lie?
It seems like he's not or even lying. That's what it seems like. But it's a little tricky, because then eventually she's going to be almost coming home, you know? But it seems like his mouth are even lying. Okay, I wouldn't do it, stop.
She can sit on the bed even in front of him?
Yes! Now, is there any answer for her to be on his bed? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention anything. Is there any problem for her to be on his bed? This is a machlokas achronim between the Taz here and the Taz and the Pesrei Tshuva Chesuk views of the Taz versus the Torah's Hashlamim in Sivkat and Zion. The Taz says that there's a limited isser for her on his bed. What's the limited isser? She can't sleep on his bed while he's looking. Why? We're not worried about her thoughts. We're worried about his thoughts. If he sees her sleeping on his bed, he might get the wrong thoughts. Seems like a reasonable svara. The Torah Shlomo says, no, we never heard of any isser for his bed. Halacha l'maisa, the minhag is to be machmer like the Taz. There's a very limited isser for his bed. Only if she's sleeping and only if he's watching. But he can't see her sleep on his bed because that'll cause bad thoughts for him.
Was there a Shlomo?
He says there's no isser at all on his bed. But we paskin like the Taz, I think the minhag is like the Taz. There's a very limited isser. She can't sleep on his bed when he's watching. But she can sit on his bed, and she can sleep on his bed when he's not there, for sure. She's allowed to sleep on his bed when he's not there. Like, for example, let's say the husband's out of town, and she's afraid to be alone, whatever, so, I don't know, her sister comes over. Right? And they only have one bedroom. They have a small apartment. So what should she do? So, whether she's in either or not, of course, she should sleep on her husband's bed, and let her sister sleep on her bed. Right? More to know it that way. She's sleeping on her husband's bed. It doesn't matter. We're not worried about her thoughts. As long as the husband's not watching her, that's okay. Or just stop. The husband's away. She wants to take a nap. She can take a nap in her husband's bed. We don't worry about her thoughts.
So, unless the husband comes back to his wife sleeping on his bed, he can't sleep in her bed. What should he do? Should he wake her up?
Chachamina Barosha.
Don't upset your wife.
Then she should sleep in her bed to avoid that problem.
If the husband comes back and sees his wife in the bed,
then he should either sleep on the couch or wake her up, depending on whether she would mind being woken up.
Drink from her cup until she comes back.
Yeah, so, you know, figure it out. I think your marriage should be strong enough to be able to survive that pitfall.
No, I was wondering what the halacha would
be. The halacha would be that he can't sleep on her bed.
There are certain would rather wait. How do you weigh,
You have to, what would you rather do? I don't know, it depends. How comfortable is it for him to sleep elsewhere? What would she prefer? I bet, I'm not an expert in psychology, but I bet that she would rather be woken up and move to her bed and he'll be in his bed and they'll sleep in the same room rather than him sleep on the couch in the living room. That's what I bet. I'm not a psychologist, but I have a strong hunch that she would rather be woken up and sleep in the same room as him.
There are certain times that a husband and wife might need to, for practical reasons, to switch beds. Is there any?
The modern day sperm discuss this a lot more than I thought would be practical. They say, what if you want to switch beds? They say, well, you can't switch beds while she's in Ida, because then the husband's sleeping in her bed. Rather, you have to switch beds when she's Tahora, and then you go with the switch beds from then on.
But why are there any beds? Impossible?
That's what all the poskim say now. What if, it could be that I'm not hopping why people need to switch beds so much.
In a hotel, they go away right there and you don't. Is it whoever picks first advance their
shade
on their bed?
Yeah, like how long do you get? 5 second rule? I think at a certain point you could use common sense. As to what's really someone's bed, what really isn't. If they sleep in it for 1 minute, does that make it my bed forever? I don't know. Okay, I think you could make able to use common sense. Anyway, what about switching beds? What if she's Anita and they need to switch beds? What should they do? I don't know. It's a tough question. Someone just tell me why you need to switch beds.
If someone's still sleeping on one bed and one spouse is okay with it and one spouse is not okay with it.
AC is going right in her face and she doesn't like it or something.
Uh-huh.
With the baby.
So what if the AC and she's Anita? Then what would I tell you? I tell you you'd have to be on Shriach yourself to move the whole frames from here to there, and then you can keep beds and just be in a different part of the room. If you're Anita. If you're not Anita, just switch beds if you don't like the AC. If you're Anita, just hook the whole things up, switch around all the furniture in the room, and then everyone could be in the right place for the AC.
Does that include the mattress? Does that include the whole bed?
Yeah, the whole thing. The whole thing.
Mattress, not gonna
die. The whole thing. The whole thing. It's a tough life. It's really like, this is not the hard part of running a household. Really, there are bigger tariffs than this. Okay, then you said, what if it's glued? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, figure it out. Tsarchian. I don't know. A good question. Maybe you could do some sort of like, I don't know, Kabbalistic tekes to like officially switch beds.
Mattress or just frame? Like the whole frame with the mattress or just the mattress?
I think the whole thing. But I'm not sure. If it's impossible, then maybe, you know, I think the whole thing. How often are people going to do this? What am I missing here? How often do people need to switch beds? Like every week? What?
Once or twice a year.
Once or twice a year. But usually if you know, no, for sure, like, I can imagine a situation where in the winter you sleep this way, in the summer that way, because you're closer to the air conditioning heater. Hmm. But you can plan that out for when you're not in need. Like, you know when the winter's coming, when the summer's coming, right? Back to Chacham Ein Barosh, right? Winter and summer have... I read... I'm not a scientist, but I read in Parshas Noach that winter and summer have, like, fixed seasons when they come, and they're predictable in advance. I don't know, if you're a scientist, you could tell me if there's a stira, and we'll bring it to Nathan Slifkin. But it could be the scientists agree with this part of the Torah that the winter and summer come at specific times of the year. We just did hey. Continuing. Now the Ramah brings... Oh my, okay. We're very behind. The Ramah brings a chumrah that is not found in the in Shas. Asher leishev only in the some of the even later Ashkenazic Rishonim. Asher leishev safshal orach shemis nad nedes. Einim chuvers the kovch shishnu shivishos need your shavlo. You can't sit on one bench unless it's attached to the wall together with ishtonida. Why not? What's attached to the wall? The chap is not attached to the wall. It's whether it moves or not. Right? Some benches, like the ones that are attached to the wall, if you sit on them, they don't move. Other benches, if you sit on them, they do. So even nowadays, like a lot of benches, on like good quality new benches they put on the sidewalk, if you sit on them, they don't move. It's not named. Old, rickety ones will move. Clearly something like a swing, a vada moves. Couches... You know, some couches, they do move when you sit on them, and some couches, they don't. Maybe it depends on how many cushions there are. I don't know. I don't know how heavy the couch is. Basically, what's the yesod? The yesod is, if you feel each other sitting and getting up, then it is usher to sit together on the same, I don't think Sparta have this minhag, but I'm just going to have to do, on the same seat, if you feel each other getting up and sitting down. It's always newlyweds ask, can we sit on the separate sides of the same couch when my wife's Anita? So I think every couch is different. Some couches you don't feel the other side of the couch, and some couches you do. You have to check, do an experiment when you're Tahora and see. And some people are matter when there is someone else sitting in between them. We pask and it's mutter. If there's someone else in between them, then you certainly don't feel together, right? Willick says, even if you have like a large object in between you. That's also mutter because you feel separated from each other. You shouldn't travel in the same wagon or boat. If you're just going for a pleasure ride, to the countryside. If you're traveling from place to place because you need to get someplace for a reason, it's mutter even if you're alone, as long as you don't touch each other. Okay, it's a little unclear exactly what this Ramah is trying to say. Is he trying to be more machmer than the previous line or more makel than the previous line? We assume that he's trying to be more makel. He's saying that it's usher to sit on the same seat if you feel each other getting up and sitting down. That's true even in a means of transportation. However, it's only also in a means of transportation if you're going for a pleasure drive. If you need to get someplace, then it is mutter. So the pashup shot is that he's only referring to a sashal hamasnad date, like one agala. And in one agala, everyone feels everyone getting up and sitting down, or one sfina. And sfina, I don't mean the Queen Elizabeth II ocean liner. I mean a rowboat, right? In a rowboat, you very, very much feel everyone getting up and sitting down. Let's say you were traveling in a, on a bus with hard seats or something, or in a car, right? Driver and shotgun, where you're not in the same seat, then that's mutter across the board. That's mutter across the board. I don't think they have those anymore. If you're in separate seats, that's mutter across the board. The end of this Ramah is talking about if you're in the same seat. If you're in the same seat, then we normally asr that, including going on a tiyul. However, if you need to get from place to place, then we don't enforce this minhag. We're makel on the minhag of the same seat if you need to get from place to place, because after all, people need to go from place to place, so what are they supposed to do?
Even if they feel each other.
What?
Even if
they feel each other, that's the assumption. If they're in separate seats, it's always mutter. This Trumas Hadeshen is talking about if they're in the same seat. Again, this is interpretation. This is the authoritative interpretation. If they're in the same seat, then it's usher, stam on a swing, stam on a couch or a bench, stam on a tiyul. But even if they're in this, but if they need to get for transportation, even in the same seat, it's still mutter. So, for example, let's say the back seat of a car, right? The back seat of many cars is like one cushion, and you feel each other getting in and out of the back seat of a car. Let's say it's not your car, right? Your passengers, right? You need to get the back. Why are you going to the back seat of the car? Because you need to get someplace. You need to get to work, you need to get to a chasana, you need to get to a family gathering, whatever you need to get to, right? I don't mean need to, like you absolutely need to, but like, no, you just need to get from place to place to for some social obligation or even because like you have plans that, you know, necessitate being in a certain place, etc. Pashtas, or even if you're just going someplace which is fun. But it's not fun to drive there. You know, one can also be makel. That like, the driving is just necessary. Halacha lemaisa, if you need to get from point A to point B, like a car, you can sit in the back seat of a car, even if you feel each other getting up and sitting down. All we're normally machbar on that. Yeah, but we're makel for the sake of transportation. Even if it's not a big tzorach, for the sake of transportation. A tiyul is not transportation. But if you need to get someplace, that's transportation, as long as you don't touch each other. Therefore, it's no problem if you are, let's say, you and your wife's Anita, and the two of you are sitting in the back seat of the car. No problem, all you feel each other getting in and out of the back seat. Yeah, but it's for transportation. They were no hay to ask for transportation. And therefore, it's fine. They're only no hay to ask for stom sitting, or stom driving through the countryside. But for transportation, it's okay, as long as the Rama says you don't touch each other. What if you're two of three people in the back seat of the car? Then it's a little hard to not touch each other. What do you do? So it depends. If the third person is like your kid, then you put him in between you. And that's fine. You have a, you know, it's etc. Okay, but what if like the third person is, I don't know, like another strange man or woman? It's just pasnish to put in between you. You know, your kid is very easy. I'll put them between you. Okay, that's a normal thing to do. You know, I don't know, what if it's you and your friend and your wife? Let's put your friend in between you and your wife is a little pasnish at the very least. It's inappropriate, etc. So then, what do? So you have to, bilvashal yigozev azeh. How do you avoid that if you're next to each other squished in the car? So the eitza is put a pocketbook in between you or something. Then that'll keep you from touching each other. It'll squish you more. Okay, good. That's not yet called Mesiras Nefesh for halacha. I'm sorry to say, don't get too excited. Put a pocketbook in between you, squish a little more, it'll keep you from touching. What if you're two people and squished in the back of a car, and you don't have a pocketbook or a knapsack or anything to put in between you? Then what should you do? Then you should just work very, very hard to avoid touching. You know, then it's like one of these awkward things, like the whole ride, you have to like be using all your muscles to lean in two opposite directions so you don't touch each other, especially on the curves. Okay, so then you have to do that. And we trust you that you'll do a good enough job.
Thank you.
didn't see it in the upcoming Simanim. Is this where the Israel go on a walk is as well?
So this is the whole question. What do you mean you shouldn't go on a teal beganos or pardesim? Some people want to say it means don't go on a walk. But that's not what we say. We say it means don't go on the same bench in Ganos or Pardesim. There's no Isser to go on a walk. We Paskin, there's no Isser to go on a walk. I know the Bnei Shulchan Aruch now, some Paskin differently. But we Paskin that it's not an Isser of teal stam. It's only an Isser of teal in the context of Safsol HaMestandedes. But if you're not in a Safsol HaMestandedes, let's say you're going on a teal with your feet, not sitting on anything. Or you're going on a teal in the driver's seat and the shotgun seat. Then there's no issue to go on teal when your wife's in Nida. It's mutter to go on a stroll through the countryside or a drive through the countryside on separate seats when your wife is in Nida. Obviously, it's even mutter to go on vacation when your wife's in Nida. Obviously, one has to use common sense. There is strolls and there is overly romantic types of activities. One should not go on an overly romantic activity when your wife is in Nida. And one should certainly not try to go on a big vacation when your wife's in Nida, because that's, you know, can be an overly romantic activity. However, you can go on a stroll when your wife's in Nida, you can go on a drive to the countryside on bucket seats when your wife's in Nida, and even vacation, like, not everyone can choose when they get to go away a little. There are some people who, they have very tight schedules, whatever their work may be, etc. There's only 3 days this year where they can get away and relax a little and go on vacation. Their wife happens to be in Nida, then they're still allowed to go away on vacation. They have to go on vacation and find a hotel room with separate beds, etc. And they should not try to make it, they should try not to make it overly romantic, but you're allowed to go on teal or even on vacation. Obviously, it's better to go on vacation with your wife when she's not in Nida. But again, some people have very strict schedules, you know, the doctors and etc. Not everyone can just take vacation whenever they want. Or they already planned the vacation and then they had an unexpected Nida. Some people, their work is a strict schedule, their body's not a strict schedule. So then, it's much to go on vacation even when she is a Nida. Okay, we are up to Se'if Vav. Okay, by hook or by crook, we must absolutely finish this. This simon on Tuesday. And then we'll have to, I guess, catch up in the future simonim. Just some scheduling notes, right? David apologizes that he was suddenly called away and had to miss last Tuesday. He also apologizes that he's flying to America and he's going to have to miss this Tuesday. So we're just going to have Savlanut. I want to restart the minhag of the Wednesday Chassan class shirim. I started that once. I feel bad that I was mevatalit for like 2 months because something else came up on exactly that slot, which I didn't really have flexibility about. But now that slot is free again. So I'd like to do a few more sessions to finish that up. I'd even like to start this Wednesday, a short shiur, the next few Wednesdays, a short shiur every Wednesday after Mincha, about the non-halachic aspects of chassan classes. So please put that into your mental schedule. I do need, I guess, one favor. Does anyone have notes from the first Wednesday that I gave? What?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have to remember what I don't remember well enough. You know, between this and between all the chassans I'm teaching and everything, I don't remember what I discussed, what I didn't discuss well enough. So, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if obviously notes will be quicker for me to look over than listen to the recording. So, could you email me the notes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Amazing. Okay, so we'll pick up Ritz Hashem Tuesday with Shir and Wednesday with Chassan class. Then it's okay, yeah.
Didn't Rav Moshe not allow Tulim, the sake of Tulim?